is Building Bridges, Your Community and Labor Report. I'm Amy Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash. Later on, Building Bridges saying no to Rego Park Walmart and saying yes to a unionized Walmart store in Quebec.
But first,
what do you say to someone who's just lost everything? Eventually, things might be okay. As he's standing there with all that's left of life before the ocean rose and took it all away. I was at the mosque. I wasn't on the shore. I guess it was my lucky day. And when I made it home, there was no one there. The ocean rose and took them all away. We were fighting for independence. That's all I was thinking yesterday. But now all I'm thinking is we're on an island, and the ocean rose and took it all away. Big trees all were cut, and this is how we all had to pay. Maybe Mr. Ford was on vacation in Thailand when the ocean rose and took it all away. If this had happened in Kyoto or San Francisco, I wonder what they'd say. But this ain't New York. It's just Aceh, where the ocean rose and took it all away.
And that's David Rovac's new song, specific to the people of Aceh, but for all those who have lost all. And somehow the indomitable human spirit continues, but clearly it is all of our responsibilities to help our sisters and brothers throughout the Indian Ocean region in South Asia rebuild and to have the monitoring systems that they should have and to have the ability to earn a livelihood that is beyond impoverishment. And certainly in this new year, that is what we must realize for our brothers and sisters around the world, and most specifically now for those who have been affected by the earthquake and this catastrophic apocalyptic tsunami.
And that it's always the poorest of the poor who suffer the most in these disasters, and we should realize that, and also what a disaster we have as a leader in this country. What else can I say?
Well, what we can say is that we're going to turn our attention to the world's largest employer. Walmart is planning to come or seeking to come to Rego Park in Queens. And we're going to find out precisely what they're up to and what the problem is. And that's the kind of negative part of things. And then we're going to turn to perhaps a more affirmative note, what has been happening in Quebec, where our sisters and brothers have actually managed to fight Walmart and begin the process of organizing and unionizing. And we're very pleased to have with us Michael J. Frazier, the National Director of UFCW Canada. Good evening.
Good evening.
And also, of course, Brian McLaughlin, who is the New York State Assemblyman from Queens and president of the New York City Central Labor Council. And it's always good to hear from you, Brian.
Good to be with you and Ken. And Michael, good to be on a program with you.
Thank you. And it's the same goes with me.
Why don't we start with the negative piece? And that is, well, we'll see if it's negative. Rego Park has lots of stores. Now Walmart wants to come in. It is my understanding that the way people such as yourself, Brian, found out about this was from an article in the newspaper that probably says something about the stealth methodology that Walmart employs and why they employ that. Well, let's find out about that. What's your perspective on their desire to enter into Rego Park?
Well, first, you know, my associates, Michael and others, have had far more experience, but they did, Walmart recently, come in with a take-it-or-leave-it attitude, announcing their projected new store in 2007 or 8 without the borough president or the labor movement or the business community or elected officials or anyone else even being notified that they were intending to become their new neighbors. It's indicative of the way they behave. But, you know, I think there's a larger question here, and I think the UFCW has dealt with effectively in Canada, which I'll leave for Michael to describe to the listeners. But I think we have to benefit from the history of Walmart and recognize that in places like New York, where we have a couple of things going for us, union density, a relationship to many of our coalition partners, the minority community, strong relationship with the elected officials at the local level, outreach to the immigrant community, particularly enhanced last year after our Freedom Ride, to do an education campaign, and even to trade union members, which disappointingly so have supported Walmart in the past. A couple of points just have to be made. Record shows that wherever Walmart has moved into a community, net jobs have gone down. There hasn't been a net gain to the local community. As a result, net revenues have gone down. When we talk about how do we finance our schools and our firehouses during these difficult times as is, why should we allow one monopoly to move into a community, displace often higher paid employees at the expense of those small businesses who are good employers? Good employer versus bad employer. Let's just talk about the shifted burdens of health care. Many small businesses like Macy's and others, sometimes even unorganized, who provide health care to their employees would be disenfranchised by a Walmart moving into a community. Walmart shifts that burden of paying the health care to the backs of the taxpayers. And then the most important, I think, for New York City, we still have, certainly we've had a decimated manufacturing community, but Walmart's strategy is clear: to get lower costs from their manufacturers. They squeeze them and squeeze them until they have no choice but to outsource all of their products to foreign countries. And we lose in places like Long Island City and Queens a manufacturing base that still produces many of the items, furniture, electrical components, lighting fixtures, other things that local employers make that won't be able to sell to Walmart because of their marketing strategy.
Well, we want to talk a little bit later about some of the strategies to prevent Walmart from coming to Queens, but I want to also talk about something that is happening in Canada, which is the first unionized Walmart, which is in the province of Quebec. And Michael Fraser, welcome to WBAI. And how did it happen that this store was unionized?
Thank you, and I'm happy to be on. I think that Brian described the situation with Walmart very, very accurately. But in Quebec, in Jonquière, Quebec, where the first Walmart store in Canada was certified recently with the UFCW, the way it happened was that we were approached by the employees of this store who felt that they wanted a voice, some type of voice, in relation to their working conditions, their benefits, their wages, etc. The first time that we applied for certification in Quebec, we came up a little short, and we had a vote, and we didn't win the vote. And then shortly after that, the employees themselves again established a committee, and they approached us again and said that they wanted, after the statutory freeze on reapplying in Quebec was over, that they wanted to reapply. And the second time we reapplied with a large majority. And in Quebec, if you can demonstrate that you have over 50% membership support, then the Labor Relations Board will certify you automatically. And contrary to all the arguments that Walmart made to the board in Quebec certified us to represent those employees who work in that store.
Michael, what were the issues that the workers were concerned about, and how did Walmart fight them?
Well, there's a lot of issues, but I would say that probably one of the main issues that the employees in this store were concerned with, and I'm sure it's the same in other stores, is the number of hours that the employees are entitled to work. And in this particular store, the maximum number of hours that employees are allotted to work is 28. And it's very difficult for someone to support their family and their children working at very low-end wages and with a minimum number of hours, 28 being the maximum. So that certainly was a major issue. Since then, we have elected a negotiating committee that has met with the entire membership, and we have proposed a collective agreement and a meeting with Walmart. The local union now has had three or four meetings with the company, and we are hopeful that we will be able to negotiate a collective agreement that will cover the wages and working conditions and benefits of those employees.
I want to go back to Rego Park. Walmart certainly received the Seasonal Grinch Award in the U.S. for its treatment of its workers. But, Brian, what about the community businesses that are there already in Rego Park as one issue? And people constantly raise up the price benefit, and yet it would seem inevitable that as Walmart squeezes everyone else out, that the prices themselves will similarly not remain low for the consumer. So how do you look, we're going to put you back in your assembly person hat now, what about the businesses in Rego Park, the community there, how will they be affected, and then how do you look at the issue of how the consumer looks at the issue or popularity in some instances of Walmart?
You know, the first one, first, the small business community. Very interesting. Maybe about 2 weeks ago or so, I did a radio interview, and they had a call-in portion of the program. About four callers called in. The first one, ironically, was a former regional vice president of Walmart who left after his conscience was bothering him. Talked to many of the suits brought by women and minorities and some of the issues like the part-time standard, which makes it much more difficult to organize these workers, but more difficult for them to earn a living. The other callers, though, quite interesting, really point to your question. First caller was a small businessman in Long Island City. Name escapes me. They're all part of our record, though, who called in and said a Walmart opening up in Rego Park, selling the products that they do and drawing as they do from 6 or 8 miles on either side of that store, north, south, east, and west, would decimate his business. Next caller that called up was a local merchant who talked about the fact that whenever Walmart moves into a community, there are usually two, sometimes three, competing stores that go under as a result of Walmart's marketing strategies. And the last was someone as far away as the Smith Haven Mall in Suffolk County, who said that Walmart moving into Queens County would only be the beginning of it, setting its stake in the ground in places like Nassau and Suffolk and really decimating the business community out there. So I think what we have to do is we have to really engage in an education program here. I got slammed around in an editorial, one of the local Queens newspapers last week, saying that my opposition to Walmart stemmed from the fact that it's a blatantly or historically non-union company. The facts are, you know, much more pointed than that. It's the fact that we have a history now to Walmart across the country, and as Michael just said, the experience even in Canada, where other competitors go out of business is a net job loss. So we know that this appeal that we're going to hire, particularly 18 to 24-year-old African-Americans with the highest unemployment rate, who's not for that if not the labor movement? But that's not the case here. If we have some of that hiring, it's at the expense of other workers who might have a modest pension, might have some basic health care, and a driving down of the wages and the standards in the industry, and all those other employers that are paying tax revenue into our tax structure who are going to be displaced. So I think the history is such that all we got to do is recount it and do an education job with our elected officials and they should be on our side. In regard to the consumers, you hit the nail on the head again. I mean, Walmart's strategy is quite clear. They moved into some areas where they put down their anchor to draw customers away from some of their competitors. When they undermine their competitors, they sometimes close that rural store and move right into the urban center where their competitors used to be, all the while driving down prices by outsourcing more of their goods to foreign companies, by forcing their manufacturers and their production companies to do so. They don't listen to, my costs have gone up, or I have to give my workers a raise, or my taxes went up, or my heat and electric went up. Walmart's basic attitude is, who cares? Find a way to do it cheaper. We'll find somebody else to provide the goods to Walmart. So when you add those two things up, I mean, basically you come to the conclusion that we can, when we have available land and we have economic development initiatives, particularly when there's land use or other oversight that government, local government has to consider, we can find better neighbors than Walmart. We can find somebody that comes in that pays competitive wages, that provides the dignity of health care or pension, and we can provide someone that doesn't drive out competing small businesses, particularly in a multicultural community like Queens and the other boroughs of New York City. And so I think we have to examine all of these things. I'm not closed-minded. We don't want to be protectionist at the expense of common sense and logic and the consumer benefiting. It's our job to organize the workers, so that's really not an issue. It's really the fact, is Walmart good for a community? Is Walmart in the best interest of the workers who already have jobs in that community? Is Walmart in the best interest of the other businesses in the community? And is ultimately, as you say, is it in the best interest long run of the consumer? And I think there are many case studies that show that that's simply not the case.
Michael, in Canada, you've gone a little bit further than we were in the United States right now in terms of actually, I understand there's a number of campaigns on the ground to organize Walmart stores. Why don't you give us an overview? Obviously, Quebec is leading the way, but what's happening in other Walmart stores throughout Canada?
And I should say, Michael, it's not that I don't expect Quebec to lead the way. It's just we've had such difficulty unionizing, organizing the Walmarts in this country. I love to get a better handle on how you were able to be as successful as you have been in Canada.
Well, I think one of the reasons that we've been successful is that the labor legislation that is in place in Canada, generally speaking, is under the jurisdiction of the provinces. And the provincial governments introduce legislation for most workers, those that are involved with the federal sector, money and banking, and provincial transportation as federal jurisdiction. But in Quebec, in addition to Jonquière, we also have an application for certification for a store in Brossard, Quebec, and another in St. Hyacinthe that we expect to be certified for both those stores in the very near future. In Quebec, Walmart, who likes to project itself as a very good corporate citizen and as a great place to work, was found guilty of unfair labor practices in Quebec. And they were also found guilty of unfair labor practices in the province of British Columbia. So in addition to Quebec, we have applications that are pending in British Columbia for a number of stores. In BC specifically, in regard to one store and seven applications for their gas bars. We have applications pending in Saskatchewan for two stores in North Battleford and Weyburn, Saskatchewan. And we have an application for a successorship for a store in Moose Jaw that was unionized before when it was a different store and Walmart took it over. But it is very interesting what happened in Saskatchewan because in Weyburn, Walmart came to the Labor Relations Board and demanded that the UFCW produce all of our organizing materials so they could cross-examine what we had used and what we had said to the employees during our organizing campaign. And we voluntarily provided that information to the Labor Relations Board and provided it to the company. In turn, we requested that the board ask Walmart to provide us with a copy and the board with a copy of their manager's toolbox on how to stay union-free. Their legal counsel continued to say that they're going to produce it, and after a number of hearings where they kept coming up with excuses of why they couldn't produce it, finally the Saskatchewan Labor Relations Board subpoenaed it. They went to court, and they found a judge who, if you can believe this, said that the UFCW and the Labor Relations Board were picking on Walmart. we appealed that decision, of course.
Oh, you bullies, you.
Yes, to the Court of Appeals in Saskatchewan, and the Court of Appeal dismissed it and ordered Walmart to produce the document, their toolbox for their managers of how to stay union-free. So as Brian said, I mean, what Walmart is attempting to do is to, you know, drive wages down to the lowest possible level, to provide as few benefits as possible, and to buy offshore, and by doing that, to be able to beat the competition. And it creates a lot of difficulty because there's a lot of employers out there that are prepared to pay good wages and to provide good benefits and to provide pension plans and dental plans and in health and welfare enhancements. Fortunately, in Canada, we have a national Medicare plan. But Walmart comes in, and in some cases, they have economic advantages of their competition of anywhere from, you know, $10 to $15, $20 an hour for the overall economic package. And that puts pressure on the employers that we represent to come and say, how can we compete against Walmart? Then they want to reduce the wages of our members and reduce the benefits that our members receive. And I think, you know, we have to ask ourselves a fundamental question: if in North America that's the type of society that we want to live in, where everything is geared towards maximizing the profit for the corporation with no regard to the cost to the employees or anybody else.
Brian, you're not the only one who's speaking out against Walmart. Why don't you talk a little bit about the coalition that's forming and how people can join it?
Well, let me first say my speaking out against Walmart really is the voice of the labor movement speaking out against Walmart, based on the experience that Michael and so many of our associates have had across the country and in Canada. Last year, the experience on the West Coast trying to negotiate a fair contract with the competition, driving down the standards, the impact of Walmart in that part of the country. I felt it was, you know, our responsibility to speak out when Walmart declared them moving into our community and let them know it wasn't just going to be the UFCW, wasn't going to be the RWDSU and the retail food and clothing unions and their representatives. It was going to be the labor movement. Because in the end, all the things that we're talking about here impact on a community. The standard of living for the employees, whether they're unionized or not, the small businesses and the others that have an investment in the community, many of them who have supported the community in many, many ways, contributing at the local level and in the civics and other things, who are displaced by the low standards of Walmart. It's the consumer in the end who loses when Walmart moves into a community. So this coalition is going to be one that has to be the broadest possible one because the campaign is multifaceted. First is education, so we need the faith-based community, we need the immigrant community, particularly those communities of color in New York where the unemployment is so unbelievably exaggerated, you know, particularly in the age groups, 18 to 24-year-old men in the African-American community. It's an easy piece of bait for that community to bite into. They're desperate for work. The promise of Walmart is one that we know is a failed promise. We have to demonstrate to them that it's a failed promise, that in the end it's a net loss for the community when Walmart moves into the community. We're going to need the elected officials at the local level, as Michael said, in Canada, where the local provinces have a say in their national labor law and labor policies. Locally, our local legislature controls things like zoning and land use. We certainly have had many cases in the state legislature where under the industrial development authority grant programs, companies like Walmart have received grants of one kind or another. And so the last thing that we should have here is the taxpayers providing any support for someone that has such a atrocious record. The education has to be done first. It has to be done among union members, as I said earlier, because many of them have shopped in Walmart in other parts of the country. It has to be done among working people, community by community, and we certainly need the elected officials to really take a look at these studies, some of which we've already forwarded to them, so they have a better understanding what the Walmart story has been across the country. They could ask the questions, and I think folks like Michael and others have had such vast experience now, they can provide not only the answer, right in on the cases where the story has had a sad ending, not the kind of happy ending that Walmart touts.
Well, we'll continue to be instructed by Brother Michael Frazier, the National Director of the UFCW Canada, Quebec, who has won a major victory when they forced Walmart to recognize their union. And we will continue to alert our listeners and keep on top of the application of the Walmart store to move into Rego Park. So we'd like to thank you very much, Brian McLaughlin, New York State Assembly member from Queens and president of the New York City Labor Council. And a good year to both of you and to our collective efforts to unionize all workers, to give them an opportunity for grievances, for benefits, and a much better wage than they presently have. Thank you both.
To you and Ken, thanks for keeping these issues in the forefront. And Mike, good being with you.
Good being with you, and good luck in the United States. And thank you very much for giving me this opportunity.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
And this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
For Building Bridges, your community and labor report.
From a cell in Pennsylvania, from an inmate on death row, Mumia had the courage to expose the evil show. From the courtroom to the boardroom, in the television's glare, how the greedy live off poor and hungry people everywhere. Here I go, bound for freedom. May my truth take the lead. Not the preacher, not the Congress, not the millionaire, but me. I will organize for justice. I will raise my voice in song.